B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You just heard John Gruden. Derek Carr looks good this season. It's amazing when you get a quarter or a coach who knows what he's doing and they surround a young quarterback with talent.
I would have liked to have seen how Carr would have done if New Orleans had decided to cover Waller. They just left him alone.
They tried to cover Waller. They couldn't cover him.
Not well enough.
No, they absolutely couldn't. And, I mean, on top of that, it was one of those things where, like, they started targeting Malcolm Jenkins. Like, what's happened to him? So, Darren Waller, obviously, is unbelievably fast, and they're utilizing him the right way, and he's going to be a pain in the ass when they end up coming here to Foxborough. But, I mean, to say that they weren't covering him, they tried. he's just really effing good, and he's one of those guys that how big did you say he is, John?
He's 6'6", 250.
Like he's a freak to be. He's faster than all but seven wide receivers in the league last year. He was clocked at faster than all of them. He blows away all the rest of the tight ends as far as speed in the league. And now they've finally been able to get in sync. And, I mean, the Saints are a good team. By the way, there was a really scary moment yesterday, and I forget which player it was, but was it Jonathan Abrams? Jonathan Abrams goes
crashed into the TV crane. I saw that.
Yeah. So he goes and falls, you know, out of bounds. He's, you know, and obviously following a play. And when he lands, he knocks his head on the base of this TV camera and just lies there. Like, he laid there until they went to commercial. So it was like a full minute where he didn't see the guy move. He was able to get back up. But, I mean, this week has been a nightmare for the NFL with the amount of star players who are either out for the season or just out for a significant amount of time.
By the way, everything's coming up Patriots. I mean, think about it. All those 49ers are gone, and Bosa, it's confirmed he's out. Solomon Thomas, he's out. He's got the torn ACL, so that crushes their defensive line. Garoppolo may or may not play. He's got the high ankle sprain. That's a 4 to 6 week injury.
No, day to day.
He's going to play.
Okay,
yeah, he's
play. But I mean, not at 100%. And they lost their top two running backs last weekend against the Jets also. Who knows how long those two guys are going to be out. And Denver, who you play in 3 weeks, just lost their starting quarterback for maybe the Patriots game. It's a 3 to 5 week injury. He may not be back. And their best wide receiver, Sutton, tore his ACL. He's out for the season. And Denver's going to be here in 3 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, everything comes up Patriots.
And you get to play the Jets twice.
That's right.
But the Bills are going to be interesting. Yeah. Admit that the Bills are going to be in it. I mean, we knew at the beginning of the season that there was a chance as long as Josh Allen didn't barf on his shoes. And he's been good against bad teams. They've been bad teams. But still, he's been excellent against those bad teams.
Diggs versus Gilmore. If you ever saw a baby blanket, as they like to say here on the radio station, with a quarterback, that's Diggs and Allen. I mean, everything is to Diggs. And Diggs has been excellent.
See?
And he hangs them out to dry sometimes, too. He's one of those quarterbacks that's not accurate enough to get it in there. So Diggs will take huge hits and hang on, but
here's the thing, though. What the Patriots have done in the past, when Revis was here and you had Brandon Browner on the other side, you'd put Revis on the number two guy and have Browner cover the main guy with safety help over the top. So maybe they do that. Have Gilmore take the number two receiver, whoever it is.
That
is
would be Brown? A shame with how John much you're Brown? Paying Gilmore.
Yeah.
That would be a real shame because
defensive
Gilmore's job,
because
Revis was already kind of yesterday's news when he came to the Patriots, and before he got super fat when the Jets re-signed him, and then he just gave up
just
completely.
Didn't care, yeah.
Yeah, he really did not care.
No, I watched too. No, he didn't care when he came back.
And he had like a bad hand, so he was just like, I'm going to get fat.
So, but the point is, Gilmore is not off to the best start.
No.
And he's clearly not what he was, at least two games. Maybe he comes back and maybe it's a lot better over the next few weeks. But if he continues like this, I could see him taking the number two guy when the Bills come to town and they have double coverage on Diggs with the number two Patriots cornerback.
Well, Sosie gave you the next gen stats.
Yes, that was
when the next gen stats take. Come on, blow us away with some stats there, John.
He slid into Wallach's DMs, by the way.
DMs, yeah.
At Ken Griffey Rules, at Toucher and Rich on Twitter, at Fred Toucher on Instagram. Follow. Get in line. Follow. I got all kinds of crazy stuff coming on there.
Yeah, let me see if I can pop up the Bob Sosie stats. It says here, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, 54-yard touchdown pass. Air distance, 55.2 yards. Target separation.
I like how people relate to numbers.
Yeah, target separation, 0.7 yards between the two.
My goodness.
Wilson under pressure. Completion probability. Anyone want to guess what the completion probability
5%
was? Rich, you got a guess for me?
Is that mean like the possibility that the person he's covering is going to catch the pass?
The completion probability with Wilson under pressure, heaving it long, the two guys close together.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to say it's 10%. 10%.
No, completion probability 22.3%. Clearly, you guys know nothing about this.
Against Stephon Gilmore?
Yep. Mm. No. On that particular throw,
yes.
The completion percentage possibility was 22.3%.
That's so pretty high for a ridiculous pass. I don't know. That seems a little high to me.
His point was Gilmore was on him.
It was a beautiful pass. It was a high-risk pass.
And to that I would say when Revis was in his prime, which is what Gilmore is supposed to be, not maybe a Hall of Famer, obviously, but someone who's supposed to be the best cornerback in the NFL, that his job is that you don't even throw at him. That's his job. You take away half the field. We've talked about that.
Yep.
Any way you slice it, Gilmore is underperforming.
Maybe Gilmore matches up on Waller this weekend.
Ooh, that's not going to happen. They are not going to put him on a tight end. I can assure you of that.
Well, you remember there were times, and I forget who Jimmy Graham was playing with at the time. Who was Jimmy Graham? And it was Tlaib who matched up with him when he was here.
Yeah, and if you go by the same logic that went with the SI guy that said the Patriots don't deserve any credit for getting Cam Newton, you should have been someone who signed Jimmy Graham to a big free agent contract because he's just floating around. He's a prick, too. Oh, the misfortune.
Jimmy Graham's a prick? Now, why is he a prick?
I met him.
Oh, that was at that stay-in-school thing, right?
Yeah, I had to sit through some shenanigans, like some ridiculous... something about bullying. And then Jimmy Graham, with his freckles and red hair, had to sit there and say everyone picked on him.
Well, you obviously didn't learn anything in that bullying seminar, because look what you're doing. You're saying mean things about him right now.
That's right. And I had the audacity to call out Wallach for not listening to the show yesterday, which I was called a bully for.
Were you really?
Even though I watched it, I thought I was. I showed a great restraint.
You were called out? People were on you for that?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm a martyr, man.
I understand.
I'm just up there taking bows and arrows. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham's a piece of garbage.
What did he do that made you think that?
Oh, I went to interview him and all he wanted to talk about was bullying. And I said, I get it, you're ugly.
Is that right? Is that what you told him?
No.
I get it, you're ugly.
No, I'm just I get it. I did say, I get it, you're a bully. All right, come on. I sat through the thing and he's like, well, you know, that's all the time I got. And I'm like, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Jimmy Graham. I mean, I can only imagine being Jimmy Graham and all the press, things that you have to do. Your life is really an open book. The paparazzi constantly following you. I mean, you know, as a human being, I could see blowing off someone who sat through a bunch of nonsense of Tony Gonzalez, of all people, a handsome, huge football star, saying that he was picked on in high school. And you're like, no, you weren't. No, you were not. You're a mountain of a man. You're good looking. You got laid all the time. Shut up. Some of us had to, you know, build up shells around us that take years to conquer, not to handsome football players. How dare you put yourself in the same kind of situation as me? I had to learn how to make fun of people. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I had to train my brain
to cut
them before me.
Yeah.
To slice them open. Mm-hmm. To find their one spot. Like so many John Wallach's ears. Just dried up and useless. All right. Well, Ray Lewis has got himself a podcast.
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
Excellent.
It is time. Ray Lewis has a podcast, and it never ceases to amaze. We will talk all about what Ray Lewis has going on and see if he does indeed make sense. During this podcast, we'll have that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Just a moment.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Ray Lewis. You know him as a Hall of Fame linebacker and a Hall of Fame influencer and Svengali.
Freddie's a numbers guy.
5'15", 75.
He's a man who has made the eyes roll of many a teammate, but here he is for us. Just for
numbers,
free,
numbers
is allowing us the ability to, for free, hear what he has to say and his life advice. Because this podcast, I've not listened to it except for what we played on the air, but it seems like he's granting people the ability to hear his wisdom, and it can only be described as wisdom.
I've always thought with Ray Lewis, he has watched some of these inspirational speaking seminars and maybe heard like a very good preacher, and then it goes through the Ray Lewis interpretation machine and comes out his mouth, and that's what this is. I think he hears things that make sense, but then it just goes through the old meat grinder.
I got numbers.
It becomes Ray Lewisized. So, you know, it's like it starts like the first like part of a sentence will start off making sense, and then the brain will explode, and just pure Ray Lewis comes out after that. And now he has to speak for at least an hour a week recorded, and I don't know if his brain can take that.
Right. So he is sitting down with a open mic in front of him, and here is what he has to say.
I'm your host, Sugar Ray Lewis. Today will be epic.
You can hear him smile. I'm satisfied, Sugar Ray Lewis, okay. I'm sweet.
I'm your host, Sugar Ray Lewis. Today will be epic. I mean, I'm telling you, it will be epic. This guy that I'm bringing on, Everyday Greatness, is sometimes the simple things in life, the simple people in life.
That's why I'm so great. All my life, it's been lovely. People have always said, simple Ray Lewis.
That's what it said.
You keep things so simple. And I've always really loved people. Look at simple Ray Lewis over there. Hey, simple Ray Lewis, hit that thing. I can do that. Hey, simple Ray Lewis, look at me dangling my keys and making a noise. Now, we'll talk over here so you'll be distracted.
Why is there a cork on this fork? It's for simple Ray Lewis.
Simple Ray Lewis has made very many mistakes using silverware. Simple Ray Lewis had an eye patch on for far too long.
All right, so here is Simple Ray Lewis talking to the people.
Guy that I'm bringing on, Everyday Greatness, is sometimes the simple things in life, the simple people in life. And this guy has forever changed my life. Let me jump in really quick to the thought of the day.
Let me jump in myself. Let me jump into this monologue I'm having.
You're the only one talking, Ray Lewis.
I'm the only one talking, but allow me to jump in if I may. I'm conjoined twin Ray Lewis.
This is voices. Conjoined twin Ray
Lewis? Conjoined twin Ray Lewis.
Okay.
He's on my shoulder. He's full of mirth and mischief.
And what's the other guy full of?
He's like a devil on my shoulder. Ray! Start babbling. Shut up now, other conjoined twin Ray Lewis.
I got this. Is two-headed Ray Lewis?
Conjoined twin Ray Lewis?
I have conjoined twins on me.
Oh, okay.
I have a conjoined twin on a conjoined twin.
All right,
it's like Russian dolls. Shut up, conjoined twin of conjoined twin Ray Lewis. Let the 1 foot of mirth and laughter. Silly goose Ray Lewis. Fred, turn off the Vox Pro before you reverse it.
Let me jump in really quick to the thought of the day, right? Because isolation can be used as a gift. I want you to think about that, because
that's what I was told when I was up on charges and they were going to put me in solitary. It's a big gift. Ray, it won't be so bad. You'll have plenty of time to talk to your conjoined twin.
Yeah.
Can you juggle conjoined twin Ray Lewis?
Shut up, Ray. I'm for the mirth and laughter.
All right, thank you. Hey, Ray.
All right, forget it. Hang on. So this is Freak Show Ray Lewis.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, I can join twin Ray Lewis.
Remember on Silver Spoons that train?
Yeah, thank you for that. Can join twin Ray Lewis.
Isolation can be used as a gift. I want you to think about that, because, and I'm going to jump in really quick. But I want you-
again. I'm going to jump in again. While you're thinking about it, I'm going to jump in.
Ray, that test ain't fair. It's got numbers all over it.
Shut up, conjoined Ray Lewis. I need the focus.
All right, here we go.
As a gift, I want you to think about that, because, and I'm going to jump in really quick. But I want you to understand why isolation can be used as a gift, right? Because a season of isolation is when a caterpillar gets its wings.
I mean, the random animals he brings into things. Like, he's got, like, I don't know if it's like an ABC thing on the wall that just has different animals.
Yeah. I thought he was going to go wolf.
It's like in a kindergartner's classroom. It was a very hungry caterpillar.
Put down the gun.
First he had an apple, and then he had a banana, two bananas, and then a bunch of raisins. And next thing you know, who's a beautiful fat butterfly?
Oh, I bit into the apple. Gross. Hey, guy with the gun in his hand, feeling very lonely. Think about a caterpillar. Yeah, okay, go about your business.
Why is there a hole in this book?
I was always wondering if being very, very alone and sad was good, but then I thought of a caterpillar. I like the way that they have no brains.
A season of isolation is when a caterpillar gets its wings. It must go into a cocoon. Sometimes we got to go into cocoon seasons.
It's cocoon season, everybody.
Everybody dresses like Wilfred Brimley and just flips off the diving board.
What you talking that's got you dancing so much?
Steve Gutenberg, he's the hunk. Look at that hunk over there, Steve Gutenberg.
You're never going to get in a police academy with that attitude. He ripped a car. He ripped the damn car seat out of the car. Oh. You're too big for that car. That's too small. Wait, there's a helicopter. Oh, it's just that goofy conjoined twin guy making noises. Hey, Ray. What's that? Is the car starting?
So this is Police Academy Ray Lewis.
Police Academy Ray Lewis. Uh-oh, what's going on underneath the lectern? That lady's fooling with that man's pee-pee. Why are you talking so crazy? Oh, you got a hooker underneath the podium. Citizens on patrol.
That was, I think, the third one, I believe. And then they went to the beach in the fourth one, I think.
Oh, that's the Janet Jones one.
Yeah, Gutenberg wouldn't do that one. He was too above it.
Mm-hmm. It must go into a cocoon. Sometimes we got to go into cocoon seasons.
Look, I'm not gonna be long, but I want somebody to grab this, because sometimes we're spending too much time on things that cannot help us get to where we're trying to go. Listen to this. Isolation allows us to take care of ourselves, so we are ready when the time comes to take care of others. That's the secret to life.
I am really excited to have. He's become a great friend of mine. He's become a mentor, and he's taught me everything that I'm learning. But I want to introduce you guys to my riding partner, Zach Moore. Zach.
Zach, you can't run in the race. Run it. Your Native American guy who taught you is dead. Zach Kent is going out with the new manager of the Max. It's time for you to get in isolation with Screech and build that robot.
What the hell was that that we just played?
I don't know. It's Zach Morris. You broke the Elvis statue, dummy. What are we going to do? Screech's mom's going to kill you. Zach, that nurse is too old. Kent already agreed to go study with you, dummy. My goodness gracious. You're going to end up with no Kelly. Don't kiss her. I'll tell you this. Lisa's a gossip. She's going to tell Kelly you kissed Jesse.
These are some of the most random. Now I'm out. I don't know these references.
Don't kiss Lisa. Lisa's a gossip. That girl's homeless. When I wake up in the morning and the lawn gets out of water. Dad is bathing at the mall. Use your head, dummy. This girl's homeless. Zach, you can't play in the big game. Your knees hurt.
You lost me, too. I'm out.
These are too deep for you fools.
Right about till there.
You really watch a lot of Saved by the Bell.
Zach, don't pick on her. She can be your girlfriend just because she's a wrestler. Come on, Zach. Zach, that radio station. You got to raise money.
All right. I really have no idea.
You got to raise money, Zach, for the radio station.
Everybody confused.
Yes, he's become a great friend of mine. He's become a mentor. And he's taught me everything that I'm learning. But I want to introduce you guys to my riding partner, Zach Moore. Zach.
My riding partner. But don't drive drunk. You're going to crash the car, Lisa.
Don't take those energy pills. I know you're so excited.
That's right. The hot Sundays will be there. You'll get into Stanford if you just apply yourself. The SATs. You guys didn't watch none of Saved by the Bell. You didn't listen to my things.
How many people listen to this podcast? Like, I'm other than us, just for, you know, pure entertainment reasons and how strange Ray Lewis is, but are there people who actually tune in to get inspired by
I'm
this?
I'm sure it's top 50. Just check the podcast list. I'm sure it's there.
There's no way this is even in the universe of being double digits. There's no way. Is there a way to check and see how many people have listened to this specific podcast? It can't be anyone more than just like his family.
I'll tell you what. Oh, there's no hope for dope.
Sometimes we get stuck.
Yes, we do.
There's no hope.
How much evil?
Johnny Dakota might be a big movie star. But in the end, he smokes dope.
Yeah.
Don't let him influence you, Zach.
What am I reading?
He wants to slide into Kelly's world.
I'm checking in and checking out.
Sure, he's a little guy with a big movie career.
I'm watching young kids just confused.
But he smokes dope.
Everybody confused.
Just say nope, Zach.
Numbers.
Brandon Tartikoff will come in and tell you. And he's the editor of NBC.
All right, now we've gotten what's the Saved by the Bell thing? I think we lost Fred. I think Fred just went to a different planet after that.
I'm here for it, man. You should be here.
Johnny Dakota is bad news.
Okay, all right. He's kind of locked in. It's like he's stuck in the Matrix right now.
I'm all for him doing the rest of the show in this voice. I have no trouble with it.
Johnny Dakota is bad news. Yeah. Kevin is a robot.
Ray Lewis is confused.
Kevin is a robot.
Kevin is a robot.
Yeah. Taylor came over and started to like you for you, Screech. You're not such a nerd. My Lord. Screech. Don't do that porno.
Okay. You were locked in.
I missed that last episode. I didn't see that one.
The seven dorks. Make your own Snow White play.
I am not your ordinary guy.
I thought maybe you'd shift from one sitcom to another one now.
No,
I didn't watch enough of that one.
No.
Okay, all right. Oh, my God, he has 201 listeners. Ray Lewis.
Hey.
Yeah. Snow White and the Seven Dorks is going to become a messy affair, Zach. You're going to kiss Jesse and Lisa's a gossip. You knew that when you had the radio station and she did a gossip report.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Saved by the Bell, Ray Lewis.
Okay. Them dorks are nerdy.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
Except
you,
for Ray. Moose. He's a big lughead.
All right, thank you, Ray Lewis. Appreciate it.
But sometimes you got with the door.
All right, now we got a break.
Says who? We didn't have to break. Come on now.
Huh? Give me a break. Violet Ann Bickerstaff. That's Tori Spelling in disguise.
Oh, I forgot that. That's right.
She loves you, Screech. She might not have boobies yet, but that will get fixed.
617-779-0985 if you would like to speak with Saved by the Bell Ray Lewis. And
might as well listen.
Do another angle with the
Nurse Jennifer. She's sexy and all, but she too old for you, Zach. You're just a boy. Stay with Kelly.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hear that.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. If you want to hear about a fun little documentary that this song reminds me of, there's a... On Amazon Prime, you can buy or rent a documentary called Pick It Up, which is about the third wave of ska music. It is narrated by one Tim Armstrong from Rancid in Operation Ivy. It's get you in your car when you have to go run errands, listen to some ska music.
I think I am, unless I'm at like a concert, I believe I'm about a 30-minute ska limit guy. Like, I love ska when I first hear it, and then after about 30 minutes, I'm like, gotta listen to something else.
Well, that's the theory about why it burned out so quickly in terms of being popular, is that labels just... Because if you remember around the time when ska got popular, rock radio was trying anything. I mean, swing came after that. And if you ever wanted to think of a fad movement of music, I mean, remember how big the Brian Setzer Orchestra was?
They had one song.
The Cherry Pop and Daddies, like, was big around that time. It was when the movies loved that.
Yeah, I worked at a Borders where they, by the way, apparently you couldn't get fired from Borders because I didn't show up for like 3 weeks, and then I got a call going like, hey, you're on the schedule for Wednesday, you coming in? And I just remember, it was just a nightmare, and it was all these people with these degrees in like Sanskrit that they were never going to be able to use. It was really depressing. But the Brian Setzer Orchestra like dominated the entire store. So the idea was that they signed so many ska bands that you can't go to a show and listen to, you know, 9 ska bands in a row. By the time the headliner comes on, you're going to be like, what the hell's going on?
Sure.
This is too
even
much.
Bands like Fishbone weren't just pure ska.
No.
Like, I mean, there was a little bit of metal in there. There was, you know, they switched it up. So Fishbone is, like, ultimately listenable. Like, I like Fishbone a lot. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you're in the mood for it, it's great. But it's about a 30-minute limit. And then I'm like, okay. And it's not that I'm, like, sick of it. I'm just, time to listen to something else. Time to move on.
Because even a band like Real Big Fish, who are, like, whatever, people make fun of them now. But I defy you to put on Sellout, Beer, and Take On Me and not get happy. I mean, those are happy songs. And as cynical as I am,
I agree.
I if you put on one of those songs, and they're a corny band and they wore dumb Hawaiian shirts, but they will make you happy. And Beer's not even a happy song, but it sounds that way. And so I'll tell you, I was listening to the ska music in the car, bands that I never bought albums from. But I'll tell you what, you put on Spring-Heeled Jack, you listen to Jolene about their van, and you're having a good time. All right, a good time might be had on Wednesday as we revert back to sports. As the Celtics, we had a limited conversation about this, but I think it's worth pursuing. 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Search the Sports Hub. Also, get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can listen to us, listen to all the podcasts. Now, you guys were having a conversation about the layoff. That obviously, Game 3, you saw Jaylen Brown. They did everything that they said they were going to do. Jaylen Brown established himself as someone who could take over a game. And now, the debate is whether or not the rest for them is a positive or a negative. Now, you raised the point that a positive could be Hayward. Getting more time to recover, even though I don't know at this point how much, like, you know, 3 days matters as opposed to a day, but
it means everything, because he basically at the post game press conference was saying that he can't believe that he played that amount of time and that he was, you know, completely out of shape and that he was, you know, obviously winded at the end of it. And, you know, coming back from, what was it, an entire, like, was it 6 weeks? It was six
four
weeks
and a half.
Month?
Four and a half weeks. That he was off? Yeah, he was off 4.5 weeks.
So 4.5 weeks, I mean, that's a lot in the basketball world, especially getting thrown right back into, you know, something as intense as the Eastern Conference Finals. That's huge for him because it gets him, you know, to shoot around some more. Matter of fact, before he played, he hadn't done any 5-on-5 basketball. It was just, I think, 3-on-3. So he hadn't even, you know, gotten back to anything feeling like a normal basketball game. So that's good for him. I just, you know, as I said, that's the rational part of it. But the fan part of it, you know, knows that when you're hot and you're riding a hot hand, and that mentality that they had, or that they came out with in Game 3 of, all right, time to go for the kill. And you saw it at the very beginning. Jaylen Brown was dialed in. You know, I worry a little bit about that's going to subside. I also worry about giving a guy like Eric Spoelstra enough time to look at the tape, see what they did wrong in Game 3, and try to figure it out. And as I said, more than likely, this is good for them. But the irrational fan part says that I kind of wish this thing.
No,
you know,
they just I'd absolutely think that if they had it, because riding that momentum, obviously, and John made it a very good point, which is counter to what I'm saying, which is all these games are kind of on an island. I mean, you see that even a quarter's on an island. I mean, this is a team, a Celtics team, that could dominate a first half and the whole narrative of the game changes.
And then get outscored 37-17 in the third quarter. Yeah.
So that's an excellent point. But if you were looking at it normally, there's two things that could be negative if you wanted to really think about it. Is one, they obviously don't ride that momentum and maybe Miami's on their heels a little bit. And two is being sequestered in a bubble when you have that kind of like, it's a volatile mix. You know, obviously it worked out in Game 3, but does that hang around? Like, how do those egos, with what happened in Game 3, you know, kind of mesh together.
Well, here's what I'm worried about with Eric Spoelstra, and that is that in Game 3, one great thing about having Hayward in there is that you shortened your bench. There were guys who you didn't really want to have to give the ball to who weren't playing. Semi Ojeley, perfect example. There was less time. Even Tice got less time out there. And, you know, unfortunately, as much as I love Brad Wanamaker, you're going to probably see a little bit less of him as well.
Tice got less time because he got into foul trouble again. But when he left,
you were able to put that amazing starting five out there.
And you know what?
I was just going to get to that.
The Celtics have found a new five that they can put out on the floor, and they can do it against this particular team. If they advance to the finals to play the Lakers, they can't do it. But it's against this team with Bam Adebayo at 6'9", being the center, you can put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out there as your two forwards, because both rebound the ball very, very well, and you can get away with playing those two guys with three guards.
And I guarantee you, that's
something that Eric Spoelstra has to plan for now.
Well, he's not only going to plan for that, but I think that he's going to take a tip from Brad Stevens, and he's going to shorten his bench, because that's wasted time when Kelly Olynyk's out there. As much as we obviously laugh and, you know, make fun of the guy, he's pretty good, but he hasn't been worth anything during this playoff run. As a matter of fact, I think that I bet you see him for no more than just a couple of minutes when maybe someone's in foul trouble that he would throw in there. But Spoelstra's going to do the same thing. And the reason that I'm not throwing a parade that Hayward's back and they've all of a sudden this whole thing's been turned around is because even with all of that happening, you still have Jimmy Butler, one of the best closers in the game, and you've got the Winklevoss twins who at any given moment can kill you from the three-point
line. They're so bad defensively.
I know.
But it doesn't matter. When you are down by 20, those guys can come in and kill you before you can blink. Duncan Robinson can have three threes in a row, Tyler Herro isn't just great from three. I mean, he could take it into the paint, and the guy just doesn't miss. So you have to think about this too. The end of that game three, as much credit, and I give all the credit to the Celtics, and I think that they still win the game, but the Heat missed a lot of open threes.
And that's why I don't think Miami's going to change up too much. And you mentioned Kelly Olynyk, and I would agree with you, except that I was listening to Brad Stevens yesterday. And his opinion is, and if anyone would know Kelly Olynyk's game, it's Brad Stevens. Kelly Olynyk is so good in the pick and roll game, and that has destroyed the Celtics for long periods of time in this series. You need him out there just for that pick and then the pop out to shoot the three, which Olynyk is decent at. So I think you'll see more of Olynyk. Now, I'm not saying you're going to play him 25 or 30 minutes, but you're not going to sit him either.
Yeah. I just love the fact that they all basically had a little. Actually, I don't know if I like this. They yesterday went out to the pool and started racing each other. I kind of want them to stay pissed. You know, I mean, it obviously worked. That's another thing I'm worried about. All this time off has got them palling around. Mm-mm. Stop. Mm-mm. Get angry. That's why I didn't mind after game two when they were angry at each other. I was. It would have been. Here's where it would have been bad. If they would have been throwing each other under the bus in the press conferences, that's different. But going in there and Marcus Smart getting pissed and throwing stuff around, yes, if you were to sit back there like Kyrie Irving would have at for a game like that and go, oh, it's going to be fine, then you know what? Screw you. The fact that they went there and got angry about it and that it effed with their emotions means that they care. Well, so I almost kind of don't want to see them out there swimming and palling around anymore.
Well, wait a minute. There's still plenty to get pissed about. They're not up 3-1 here. They're still trailing in the series.
Well, I mean, I'm saying. They shouldn't be swimming together. They should be pissed. They should be punching each other in the face a little
bit. My point is they still are pissed. They're still pissed. They kicked away two games, and they're down 2-1.
Don't go swimming. Stay angry.
You didn't like Enes Kanter and Marcus Smart joshing around fake fighting?
No palling until you win the Larry O'Brien.
I'll tell you this, is that I thought it was funny because Enes Kanter obviously does a lot of good stuff in terms of raising awareness to issues, but he said there was some editorial that did. It might have been in the Globe, but it's like, I just won't shut up and play, and it's like, yes, you're going to talk and not play. You have, what are you talking about? Who's telling you to shut up and play? Everyone's saying, talk all you want, but you ain't playing.
Don't play.
Yeah, you ain't playing. Ray, I could do what you do on defense. I'd probably break my ribs, but I can stand there. Ray, go ahead.
Rich, I gotta disagree with you. I don't think that was good at all, what was going on in the locker room. You know, you got Marcus Smart throwing chairs around, me saying GD this and using the S word, and I don't think that's a good idea. You know, when I played basketball when I was a kid, you know, we get together, we had a bad game, we get pizza. And if you wanted to have a really good time.
If you had a real good time, what happened?
Well, if you had a real good time, you'd watch Air Bud 1 and 2, and then after you watch Air Bud 1 and 2, you'd slap each other on the back and say, hey, you know what, we're going to get better at this. So I don't mind them horsing around in that pool. They played that pool. They're gonna get to know one another and be able to be pals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if horsing around gets to be too much and someone, you know, maybe whips the towel a little too hard?
Well, that's what my dad used to say. He said, hey, emotions run high, so don't you dare, you know, you play the pool. You be good because emotions run high, and you don't want those emotions getting high.
It's an excellent point. And also, your Canadian accent, it seems, is really driving that home. I mean, there is a level
that's my favorite color of the month, man.
Well, that's really saying a lot. Color of the month.
Out of the four we had.
Exactly.
The pool is the best callers in 4 weeks. So, yeah.
And then we just go get a pizza, you know, and say, hey, Village Inn, what do you think? Have a seat and maybe play a little Pac-Man on the tabletop.
That was a nice, like, Canadian hockey coach warning you. You know, when horsing around goes too far.
What's a layer bud? 1 and 2, you know.
That was a Scott Baio after school special with Willie Ames. Willie Ames couldn't stop horsing around.
Yeah.
You're going to break something.
Right. Strobe light in the basement. Just next inviting thing, girls down.
The next thing you know, you're forming a band to go try to raise some money.
Yeah.
You know, silver platters.
So there you go. I just stay pissed. Stay pissed, guys. Come on. No palling around. What are we doing? We don't need a splashathon.
Yeah.
Get angry.
Yep.
I like the angry Celtics.
I like their that people were bitching about being in that bubble, too.
Someone said, was that Canadian Dan Roach?
Could have been. The only thing I hear from Dan anymore is if it's someone's birthday or if he likes someone getting a puppy. And I'm not being sarcastic. If he likes someone getting a puppy, which happened, you know, he just, anything that some random puts up about something nice happened, he likes it. And then it gets
because
up
he's not talking about the Red Sox, that's why. Because usually that's what we're hearing about. But there's none of that going on.
Nope. Dan is doing whatever Dan does, trying to hang on with both hands to that job of his. Sent the kids to private school. He's, you know, that ain't easy. That's debt. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Will Brinson will join us, and we will talk all about the NFL, and then we'll wonder why we had him on. All right. Just
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.